Revelation chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. Let me read the words to you. They are dreadful words, full of dread. They are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to the church here at Thyatira, to these believers. This church is tolerating evil. Evil teaching, evil practice, immorality, idolatry, this kind of corruption. Christ has given the people involved time to repent, but they have proved unwilling. Jezebel, I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. And then verses 22 and the first part of 23. So, consequently, thus, because of this, in response, therefore, this is my response, I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I'll make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Revelation 2, 22 to 23. What a shocking, dreadful, appalling passage to read. There is still time for repentance for those who are going along with this teaching. The woman herself is unwilling, and consequently, the time has come for judgment. Now, you will notice this judgment is not in the hands of the church, in the hands of men. The time for that is past. This church has been given time to deal with this, but it's tolerating it. Christ is now stepping in. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. I will cast her. I will make. I will strike. I. It's a direct intervention. In other words, we pass the time of 1 Corinthians 5, where the church must discipline, to 1 Corinthians 11, where Christ himself steps in and takes steps and actions to deal with this. It's 1 Peter 4, verses 17 and 18. Judgment from the hand of Christ is beginning at the church of God. It's not the pagan world coming in. It's not the elders or the church itself dealing with it. It's Christ himself. And the time for repentance is past, except for those who have adhered to this woman's ways. Unless, it says here, verse 22 at the end, unless they repent of her ways. Give up this doctrine. Give up this practice. Turn back to me. Christ will stand it no longer. Now, he's not dealing with the world. He's not dealing with pagans. He's dealing with the church. He's dealing with the ecclesia, the so-called believers. He's dealing with a prophetess, teachers, and those who are taught by her. Oh, these are searching words. These are frightening words. These are sickening words to me. Am I like this? Am I in this position? May God search me and know me and try me and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of repentance and back to himself in the way of everlasting. Because this is not 2,000 years ago at Thyatira. It is, of course. Do I have to repeat the histories that we all know of what is going on in the churches, as has been going on in the name of Christ in the churches? Now, whether this suffering and this bed of suffering and sickness and all the rest of it is literal or spiritual, but it suffered intensely, there comes a time of sifting and judgment, not by the hand of man, I repeat, but by the direct intervention of Christ. It is a calamitous picture for the Church of Christ, for the professing believer, unbeliever. 1 Peter 4, verses 17 to 18. If the righteous are scarcely saved, think about it for yourself. You will have to face Christ. Unbeliever, if the righteous are scarcely saved, 1 Peter 4, verses 17 to 18, think where you must appear. You will have to face Christ too in judgment. Repent now and trust him. But I won't direct my remarks primarily in this discourse to the unbeliever, although they have an application there. But this is to me. This is to the churches today. I must take the words, I feel, of Charles Wesley. He puts it like this: weary of wandering from my God, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod. For now, not without hope, I mourn. I have an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. I want to end on an encouraging note. Brother, sister, if this word is spoken to you, if it's spoken to me, let us take this passage back to Christ. Let us come back to him. For now, not without hope, I mourn. I have an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. O Jesus, full of truth and grace, more full of grace than I of sin. Yet once again I seek thy face. Open thine arms and take me in, and freely my backslidings heal, and love the faithless sinner still. Our sins may not be the same as Jezebel. Our church's offenses may not be the same as Thyatira. But whatever they are, we need to repent if the word of God, the Spirit of God, is spoken to us. Thou knowest the way to bring me back, my fallen spirit to restore. O, for thy truth and mercy's sake, forgive and bid me sin no more. The ruins of my soul repair, and make my heart a house of prayer. Ah, give me, Lord, the tender heart that trembles at the approach of sin. A godly fear of sin impart, implant and root it deep within, that I may dread thy gracious power, and never dare offend thee more. May God bless this dreadful, full of dread word, and speak to us, and bless us, that we may turn back from any course of sin. We may be kept from going to the course of sin. We may not tolerate evil, immorality, defection from Christ, and begin our judgment with ourselves, and may Christ have mercy on us. What a picture it is. What a solemn word it is. May God bless it to us all as we need, for Christ's sake. Amen.